All right, Ms. Terry Haley, this is now your part, and we are going to hear from the complainant in this case. So, Ms. Haley?
Yes.
Okay, I would now like to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. We know you are the complainant in this case. We have read the materials that you have provided, and it is now your time to address the board. So anything new you would like to share, or anything you would like to share about the case, and then the board members may have questions for you.
So much of what this Destiny girl just said is total fiction. I never hugged her. She did not take Gucci to the car with me. I did it myself. I had not heard from them all day. And every time I would call up there and they would say, well, we'll get information and give you a call back. I had no calls from them. When I finally went up there, I had to insist. I said, I have to know how Gucci is. I'm going back there to see Gucci. And he was back there. He had not stood up, as Dr. Landman said. He couldn't. She has him on so much anesthesia. When I took him home at about 3 o'clock on Wednesday, it took him till Saturday at 2 p.m. to finally come out of that anesthesia. I sat up with him day and night. I had to take water with a dropper and put water in his mouth. He would just stand and stare. He was so out of it. So for her to say that he stood up 2 hours after the surgery, that is false. And she should be ashamed of herself for her and her, the texts that were there was Tammy and Armando. That's the two texts that was with, that took care of Gucci. It's not this girl. This girl had nothing to do with it. I did not hug her. I would not let her touch Gucci. They are not telling the truth, and they should be ashamed of themselves. And no, nobody sent any instructions home with me. I had to call back up there, and she said, oh, yeah, we should have sent that home with you. I'll fax it, or I'll email it to you. I had to print it out myself at my house. Nobody told me anything about the thing that was still in Gucci's arm. Nobody said anything about that, and so nobody said anything about this stuff that they're saying is fiction. I don't know where they come up with this stuff from, but they are not telling the truth. I have no reason to say that the things that they did and did not do, because if they would have treated Gucci like they say they did, we wouldn't be having this problem. When I went back there and I saw Gucci and he was laying in that little cage, there was no towel, no bandage, no nothing laying under him. Where they had just done surgery, he was laying flat on the metal in the cage. When I picked him up, he was so out of it. There's no way he stood up. He couldn't stand up. These people are not being truthful. They are not being truthful. I don't know where they're getting their fiction from, but they need to be getting on their knees and asking for forgiveness for what they're saying and what they did to Gucci.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Ms. Haley. Now I would like to ask any board members if they have any questions of the complainant.
Hi, Ms. Haley, this is Dr. Thompson. If you don't mind, I'd like to ask you just a couple of questions. Thank you for giving us what you had experienced when you went to the clinic. Just a couple questions. When you had taken Gucci in from back in April 28th, at that time there was some blood work and a urinalysis performed. Did Dr. Landman go over the results of those diagnostics with you and discuss what she found on the blood work and urine?
No, she told me that, you know, she asked about taking the blood work, and I said, yes, of course, you know, whatever Gucci needs. And then she comes out and says, well, he's got Cushing's disease. And I said, well, how do you know? She said, because I've been doing this for 50 years, so I can recognize it. And she said, so I'm going to, I need to get him in for surgery, bring him in here Wednesday at 8 o'clock. So I had him there, and she said it would be, at the most, a 2-hour surgery. So I called at 10:15 to see how good she was doing. They said, oh, he hasn't even gone in for surgery yet. I said, okay. So then I waited another while, and I called, and she said, well, I'll get the information and call you back. Nobody at any time called me that day to tell me how good she was. That's why when I went up there, I was upset, because if I'm calling and you're not telling me how he's doing, then to me, that means there's a problem. And they finally just kept saying, well, Dr. Landman wants to talk to you. I was told that twice. She'll call you. Dr. Landman wants to talk to you. She never called me. Nobody else from that office called me. That's why I went up there, because if I'm not finding out how is Gucci, how is he, and they're not telling me, then that scares the heck out of me. And she told me that with his, after, she didn't tell me anything about his teeth whenever I got home with him, and I noticed a difference, and then I started looking on the paperwork, and it said extracted three or four teeth. I said, what do you mean extracted teeth? Said, nope, on the information where it said, does he need teeth to extract or whatever, I marked no, he didn't. But they took his teeth out anyway. They did not tell me they took teeth out. I didn't find it out until the next day, whenever I finally got the basic information emailed to me. Nobody told me anything about it. So of course his mouth is sore. I didn't even know that he'd had teeth taken out until the next day when I read it in the notes. This is ridiculous. And all his teeth were fine. She said, well, I just thought I would do a favor for you and remove these teeth. I'm going, what? And extract is the word she used. She extracted these teeth.
Okay, well, thank you for that clarification, Ms. Haley. I have one other question for you. When you requested a copy of the full medical record on May 5th, 2023, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And when did you receive that full copy of the medical record?
I still haven't received a full copy. I still have not. The only thing that I've received is the basic, simple stuff that I emailed to, I believe the lady's name is Tracy, and on the gabapentin bottle, because I was telling her about it, And I said, I don't know how often or how long to give this to him. She said, what do you mean? I said, because on the bottle, it just says, give it to him, you know, for pain. Well, how often? What, you know, give me some information here. And I sent a picture of the bottle to Tracy that shows that there's no information other than gabapentin for pain. That's it. And I mean, what do I give it? Once an hour? Once every how often? And whenever she said that they extracted 3 teeth. And then the girl up front, she says, all those teeth just fell out. What do you mean teeth just fell out? No, they did not. I take extreme care of Gucci. And there was no teeth fell out. She and Dr. Lehman used the word, she extracted those teeth. That's what she said.
Thank you again, Ms. Haley, for the information. I appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you, ma'am.
Do any other board members have questions?
Hello, this is Dr. Nosley. So when you left the clinic on the day of the surgery, the only paperwork you had was the invoice. Is that correct?
All I had was the bill.
Just the bill.
I was holding Gucci. I went up there, I paid the bill, and I left. I was very upset because I had not had communication from anybody, and that's all I got. And that's why the next day I called up there and I said, what am I supposed to do here? And she goes, oh, we should have given you that whenever you left yesterday. I'll email it to you. And those very basic instructions is all I received.
And you have that email in your mail program? You have that email from them?
I'm sure I have it on mine at home, yeah.
Okay.
Where they emailed it to me instead of giving it to me when I left.
Okay.
And they didn't give me any instructions because I was mad because nobody had let me know anything about Gucci, and that is not okay.
Okay. Do any other board members have a question for Ms.?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Thank you. This is Jane Solomon. I wanted to ask you about when you did receive the aftercare instructions, was there anything in there in writing or printed about care with a catheter?
No.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Haley. I'll now just have you remain quiet on the phone, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. All right, Dr. Landman, do you or your legal counsel have any additional remarks?
I would like Kaylin to read her statement, please.
Okay.
Ms. Billing?
Okay, well, I'm gonna go ahead and swear you in for the record, okay? Kaylin, at this time I'd like to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead and read your statement.
I'm a technician and receptionist for the practice, and on May 3rd of 2023, the day of the surgery, I answered a phone call from the owner. At the time of the call, Gucci was in recovery and the owner was calling for an update. In response, I put her on a brief hold and went and asked Dr. Landman for an update. Dr. Landman said that Gucci was doing well and that she would call the owner later to talk with her in more detail about the procedure. I promptly got on the phone with the owner and relayed that information to her. I specifically recall when I mentioned that Dr. Landman was going to call her. She had a panicked reaction and asked if it meant that that was bad. I assured her it did not, and again relayed that Gucci was doing well in recovery. Later that afternoon, the owner arrived and was extremely upset that no one had called her with an update on how Gucci was doing in recovery. She started to create a disturbance at the front desk. In fact, she was creating such a disturbance that Dr. Lambin had heard what was going on up front and came up there to try and calm her down. The owner in front of me told Dr. Lambin that no one had let her know how Gucci was doing following the surgery. When Dr. Lambin reminded her, I had spoken with her following their surgery. She denied that I had ever told her that Gucci was doing well. I then spoke up and reminded her that yes, I had given her that update. Dr. Lambin at that point went ahead and took her into the back room so that she could see Gucci for herself. And that was the extent of the interactions with the owner.
Okay. Thank you. Caitlin, you may step back.
Actually, can she say her name for the record?
Sorry. Yeah, say your first and last name. I apologize.
Caitlin Billings.
Okay. Thank you. All right, Mr. Stoll, you may now make your additional remarks as well.
Thank you. I mean, as I said in the opening, this is a she said type situation. But one thing that I really want you to pay attention to, the owner's somewhat animated, and on the day of this incident, she was borderline hysterical and difficult to communicate, as I pointed out to you earlier. And here today, she's saying that she's never been provided copies of the medical records. You have the statement that was submitted by Dr. Janine Snow. She saw Gucci post-op on May 11th, and the third paragraph of her statement begins, upon reading the records that the owner brought with her from Pets Vet Animal Hospital. So she did have medical records. I'm not saying she's intentionally lying. I think just given the emotional attachment to the dog, which is completely natural, you see that all the time. Her recollection of what she was told and what transpired is clouded and inaccurate. In that regard, Destiny Vasquez is here. She's testifying under oath. She's an aspiring veterinarian. She's not going to come in here and lie and mislead you and throw away her career. Especially about such inconsequential things as whether a hug was given or not. She's here telling the truth. This is what she remembered and what took place within her involvement in the case. She discharged the patient. She talked to the owner about the catheter that was left in place. She talked about the need for a follow-up appointment the next day. How do we know that was said? Because the owner came back the next day, and that's when the IV fluids were given. So I just don't find her testimony credible. And, you know, I think the reason the investigative committee could not really agree on a potential violation in this case is because medically the surgery that Dr. Lambin recommended and performed was done correctly, didn't fall below the standard of care. But as one of the committee members pointed out in their discussion, they felt that the owner's expectations weren't met. That happens all the time. That's probably every board complaint is unfulfilled expectations, but that doesn't mean that there was a violation. I think the owner's expectations fell short in two ways. One was the whole issue with the teeth. She thinks that they were extracted. In retrospect, they should not have checked the box extracted on there. They weren't extracted. We all know how difficult it is to forcibly remove teeth. There was no reason to do that. They inadvertently fell out, as Destiny was an eyewitness to. And so there's no violation for that. That can happen. That doesn't mean that she did something that wasn't authorized. It was they inadvertently fell out during the procedure. The other way her expectations, the owner's expectations may not have been met, is with regard to the actual surgery. The owner expected Gucci to have an adrenal tumor removed and ended up Gucci had to have a splenectomy. More often than not, a surgeon has no way of knowing the extent of the tumor until they get in during the surgery. And that's what happened here, until they can get in and visualize it. And when Dr. Lambin got into the surgery and visualized the tumor, she found that Gucci, in her words and her testimony, had a splenic mass that was about to rupture. As a result, she had to do the medically appropriate thing, which was to perform a complete splenectomy. If she had failed to remove the entire spleen, Gucci might well have died, and then she would be facing a malpractice violation as well. She should. Finally, with regard to the placement of the catheter, that was left in place intentionally, not inadvertently, as the owner implies in her complaint. It was left in place like a port because Gucci was coming back the next day for fluids. Again, this complaint should be dismissed with no violation. I realize you have two different versions of some things, but I really find that the owner's credibility on testimony falls way short, especially when you've got the testimony of an independent witness like Dr. Snow, who says that the owner brought her medical records when she saw the doctor just a few days post-op. Do you have anything else you want to add?
Well, I'd just like to add that when I took her back there to see her dog, the dog was standing up and walking around, and I had a towel. We always put towels in with these dogs and keep checking their temperatures. And the towel was pushed back, you know, because the dog was standing up and walking around. And that's what I told, the technician too, you know, dog was up.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Are there any more questions?
I would like to ask for just to clarify that in the medical records, the dollar sign that's on three different teeth is an indication not to charge, that it wasn't an extraction or an indication to charge for an extraction.
Usually what they'll do is they'll put a number by that dollar sign, and there was no number by it. I never ever got out a dental instrument, never.
Okay, so the dollar sign on that means nothing?
Yes, there's no charge.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. You may step back. This concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter. Dr. Thompson, you're the lead. Just make sure everybody speaks loudly for Ms. Haley on the phone.
Yes, I feel that there's still a decent amount for us to discuss and unpack in this case. We've definitely heard two somewhat conflicting testimonies of what happened on that day, but there were other things that kind of were concerning to me, not just the interaction between the clients, but just overall medical record keeping and protocols, I guess, in the facility. So definitely interested in what your thoughts are. I have concerns with the lack of communication records in there. We have one side saying that they spoke with the owner, but we don't actually have any written record that happened besides the statements that were written up after the fact when this complaint was filed. We don't have any sort of communication of Dr. Lannan with the complainant in the medical record. There's no notes on what was discussed as far as, you know, going over the blood work results, what other steps are available. And then I have questions as far as, you know, some of the findings that Dr. Lannan had, but yet were not noted by the urgent care practitioner that saw the dog a little while just before it went to Dr. Lannan, nor the doctor that saw it afterwards. So if we're talking about thinning of skin. So there's a lot, I feel, in here. The other piece is that tech appointment. That's a physical exam form that was filled out by the vet tech. So there's just trying to figure out, you know, who's actually doing the physical exam, who's writing up the notes, who's giving things. Any thoughts?
As a pet owner who specializes in senior pets, I'm surprised that the aftercare instructions they give are only the standard ones in writing, that they're not that they weren't customized or added in particular for a catheter, which puts the pet, from my layperson's knowledge, at significant risk. If it's not, you know, if it isn't watched, it can be.
Yeah. And we have the contradiction of come back in 7 days.
Right. Yes.
Well, and we also have on that form, he can resume his normal activity tomorrow, but restrict his activity for a week.
So what you're saying is none of that.
Moderate dental tartar and 3T fell out and horrendous dental disease and the statement.
Right.
So there's just a lot.
There's also the statements of like the gabapentin that has nothing on it, but there's clear instructions that says give every right. hour. So it's like, we've got a lot of conflicting information.
There's a lot of, I think ultimately you're not going to figure out all of these little things and we would spend hours trying to. I think ultimately it whittles down to, we have a medical records issue that things were not documented, and we would not be here arguing a lot of these things had they had been documented. So medical records, and then potentially a communication issue. I think that there were some communication issues, and those are the things that are, to me, are really the big ones that we need to discuss. I think we could discuss a lot of these a million times, but.
Yes, and I think one of the things for me, the medical records, the gabapentin, yes, it's on the invoice, but please correct me. I feel the invoice is not technically part of the medical record. In the medical record, it should have written out the drug, the concentration.
It's on the bottle.
It's on the bottle, but it's not in the medical record.
Clinic. Yeah. Oh, the owner couldn't give it, so they gave it in clinic, and it wasn't documented in the record that they gave it in clinic.
But even the medication was dispensed to go home the day before she came back to get the, and it wasn't in the medical record, only on the invoice. So there's nothing in the medical record that it was actually dispensed. And then the day of the surgery, more was dispensed, but it was not noted in the medical record, only on the invoice that it was dispensed. So there was
nothing in the record.
Nothing in the physical medical record. So you can't even go back if somebody were to call and say, what was the dosage? Don't know. Don't know how many the dog was given. Don't know how, you know, so those are concerns, definite medical records concerns.
Even a copy of the label in the record would have been something.
Yes.
I mean, and that's where I feel like a lot of this is medical records. Okay, we'll have to whittle down to kind of what are the big issues here, right? But I think to go through everything, we're never going to figure it out. We have two totally different statements here. Exactly. Like,
I agree. It's a communication and records issue. And when you have a client with communication, where you're concerned about the communication, and obviously the doctor and the staff are very concerned about the communication, then that's the time to document it.
Yeah,
mm-hmm,
that's true.
In the record, what you said.
Yes. And I know that the complainant didn't feel as though she received a copy of the medical records, and that was why I asked the clarifying statement. And she said that it was given to Tracy. And when I look back at all the documentation that was scanned from the complainant at the time the complaint was made, the medical record is complete. I think maybe because there aren't a copy of the x-ray from a long time ago, maybe that's where there's a little bit of confusion, but the medical record was given to the owner. All right, so. I was going to propose that we would find in case 23-146 violation of the Practice Act 3222, 3212, R311, 501, show respect through courteous verbal written communication, and that would kind of encompass where we were seeing just that lack of communication that we were seeing in this case. Along with that, it would be the 3222, 33B3. Would we consider these minor records violations as well?
Yeah.
I think the hard part is that we also have ARS 3222, 3212, R311, 502L8, the name of each medication prescribed, including concentration, amount, and frequency. And that was the gabapentin, and that was actually technically three times in the medical record where it was missing.
But that could also go into the minor records violation.
It could,
in my opinion.
So,
regarding the communication, let's go back to that and talk about that for a second. Are we referring to a specific piece of lack of communication, like lack of clear discharge and lack of,
well,
what it, like, because I mean,
yeah,
cause
there's
just
a lot of back-talk.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. I just want to be clear for the doctor that if we're saying, okay, it wasn't communicated that this was actually a splenic tumor, not an adrenal tumor, right? If we want to say that, then we need to know that that really wasn't ever communicated. And I am having a little bit of issues with the he said or she said, right? Like, I don't know why a doctor, I'm trying to think about this, right? You bring a client back to visit their pet, both parties said that she went back to visit the pet, right? So we know at least there was some kind of physical going back to the back to visit the pet. But I don't know why a doctor would be like hiding the fact that, oh, this didn't turn out to be an adrenal tumor at all. This actually turned out to be a splenic tumor. Because those are two very different things and you are going to give different education. So I don't know why that would have been hidden, but I also go, it wasn't in the medical record. Right. So my communication concern is really about, one, we don't know what was said, but it's not in the medical record.
Mm-hmm. So you're thinking that it's more hinging on the medical record. I guess I was also concerned about the communication aspect on just the whole premise of what surgery the dog was going in for. So the owner was going in under the assumption, even written on the surgical consent form, that it was the dog was going in for adrenal mass removal. And Dr. Lamman was thinking of it as an exploratory surgery, which have different expectations as you go in. And so I feel like that piece of communication, if we might not even be here if that piece at the very beginning was really thoroughly explained.
I think though that has happened to all of us, right? You go into a surgery thinking you're going in for a certain thing and you get in there and you're like, whoa, that's not what I was expecting, right? So you put it down on the form that you were thinking this was an adrenal mass because of its location. And I'll tell you, I've done ultrasound quite a bit of it. And I will tell you, there are things that you can kind of go, eh, crap, that wasn't exactly what I thought, right? So I could see where potentially she did that. And then she gets in and she goes, oh, this is actually a splenic mass. She didn't go into it necessarily going, this is a complete exploratory. She went into it with the information of what she got on the ultrasound that made her think this was an adrenal mass, which is why she put that. And she found out it was something different.
Well, but actually, I see the opposite, because in her records, she's saying, and what she has said in statements is that, well, this was an abdominal explore. Like, this was an exploratory surgery. This is what happens when you go in for an exploratory surgery. You might go in there with one idea, but you take care of whatever you find. But yet, what was conveyed to the owner was that this was going to be an adrenal mass removal.
Yeah.
So I think that's, like, to me, that's a big communication gap, if you will. And I mean, I'm fine. I'm going off of if we decide that that's not a piece of the violation.
Well, to me, I just think she was pretty certain it was an adrenal mass. She went in, she found it was something different. So an answer was kind of like, well, it was kind of an exploratory because I thought that's what it was, but it wasn't. Right? So it's like it came up after the fact that this is now more of an exploratory.
So, Madam Chair, if I may interrupt to kind of shorten this a little bit. I think Dr. Nosley hit it right on the point. A very succinct way to summarize all the communications issues into one is that if you know it's a problem, and if you know a change occurred from what was originally thought, it's got to be written down. So the communication can all be written in there. The problem is that he said, she said would be less of a problem if there was really good notations of the conversations that were had, whether it's on the phone, in person, whatever, and whoever had those conversations. So not documenting that, so that actually makes all that communication stuff really another medical records issue. It needs to be documented. And the worse you think it could blow up, the more it needs to be documented.
And I would add that I'm not sure that these are all minor records violation. When you're prescribing a pain medication and you're not identifying the dosage in the record, and that it was even prescribed in the record, I think that could be a big problem. I think there's so many omissions in the medical record we're finding that it elevates it to more than a minor medical records violation.
I think Dr. Thompson had R311502L8 as lack of medication documented, and I think that that is an actual finding of that. That we can stand behind.
Yes.
So I personally would be more in favor of that. I think some of the medical records that we're just never going to be able to figure out is things like mild tartar being documented on the pre-exam and teeth falling out, and the technician actually saying in her statement that there was horrendous dental disease and this dog's going to have a dental, and then you have mild dental disease. Like, I've never had three teeth fall out on a surgery. Like, I've just never seen it. I've been able to like knock them out, but I've never had them fall out. So I do think there might be a little, yeah, you probably didn't have to pull out dental instruments, but my guess is you did kind of look around at the teeth and kind of poke at them, and that's really where they fell out. But I mean, that goes back to medical records. It's not clear.
Yeah. So I will make a motion, since we didn't get anywhere on the last, for case 23-146, defined violation, ARS 3222, 3212, R311, 502L8, the name of each medication prescribed, including concentration, amount, and frequency, and then also find in violation 3222, 33B3, minor records violations, including type of surgery that was to be performed, as well as lack of client communication notes in the medical record.
Okay. We have a motion for two violations. Sorry.
Did you say 21 ARS 32,
32, number 21? R311 502 L8. I think she said ARS 32, 22, 32, 12. Released R311-502-L8.
Okay.
I think she missed the L.
21.
And I guess I would say the communication piece to me, and not documenting the communication that was had with the owner, isn't minor. I would say that actually, you had it right initially, which was number 12, and then it was R311-5011 for professionally acceptable procedure communicating with this owner and clearly identifying what was going on. So I mean, I think there's a lot of he said, she said, but I think some of the things that you're pulling out as like details are kind of more pertinent to the case than just a minor, we forgot to document something.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes, so then I will go with my original motion.
Thank you. Can you please go back?
Tracy, do you have that? Do you need to repeat it?
I do. So yeah, ARS 3222, number 12, as it relates to R11-5011 for failure to provide courteous verbal and written interchange with respect to the communication and clearly clarifying or identifying what was going on with the dog. Was it?
And I think it's specific to getting it into the medical record.
Yeah.
So it is what I'm thinking, because I don't know that she didn't have this communication, because we're getting very conflicting stories. What I do know is it didn't make it into the medical record.
It wasn't documented.
So would you want to be considering a medical record keeping violation with maybe failure to maintain adequate records?
Yeah, it's 21 instead of 12.
I'm fine with that. However it's best, because we also have the medical records of L8, which was the lack of it.
So you could do ARS 3222, number 21, just failure to maintain adequate records with respect to communication and documentation of what was occurring with the pet. Also L8 for the failure to document the route and concentration of the medication prescribed with respect to the gabapentin.
And then I think that would cover it.
Oh, I'm sorry, L7. You might want to put L7 if that's administering. And it was.
Oh, it was both then. Because we administered one dose in the hospital, and then there were two instances where medications were dispensed.
Okay. And not documented.
And not documented.
Okay, and that was with both of gabapentin?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And then you also had ARS 3222-33B3.
But in my mind, I feel like if we already have failure to maintain medical records.
You want to take that piece out?
Yes.
Yeah.
see would be that if they would just find medical record violations, if they believe that those things actually happen, they just didn't get written down. But if they don't believe those things happen, then it would be a communication violation.
That's right. And I'm listening to Dr. Jane. She felt that it just wasn't documented, that she wasn't clear that it was actually told to the client, or they didn't have those conversations, but it definitely wasn't documented in the medical record.
I guess that I would be leaning towards that. I think more communication was probably said to the owner that we're hearing about, and maybe because of the emotional state, and maybe the communication wasn't as great as it could have been, but I think it was said. I think it wasn't documented in the medical record that we had any communication on this.
So it would be up to you guys how you want to go with that.
I think that is part of the client communication is part of your medical records, and so then it is a failure to maintain your medical records, right?
If you believe the client communication happened. If you don't believe the client communication ever happened, then it's professionally acceptable procedures or lack of good verbal communication.
We don't know. We don't know. Right. We will err on the side of that there were probably some communication, whether it rose to the level of what we might consider adequate, but either way, it was not put into the medical record.
Right.
Would you consider that then, and this may be a question also that Mark may want to listen to, if there have been citations for previous communication problems, could that affect this?
I don't think that. This is us trying to determine if there was a violation.
Okay.
Not what.
Yeah, I mean,
Do you guys have a strong feeling one way or the other on whether it was lack of documentation versus lack of.
As Trace, I don't know how Tom's motion and Tracy reread is the problem. This last
citation.
It's not in the record. That is my primary concern.
All right, so we're all in agreement on that piece. Okay.
So I just heard Mr. Lohe say he seconded the motion.
The latest version.
So we're not going to repeat.
Let's
all
repeat.
Right. Do we want to do roll call or just verbal?
Let's repeat the motion so we're all clear what it is.
Okay.
Tracy?
That's fine. So I have error as 32-22-32-21 as it relates to failure to maintain adequate medical record keeping with respect to the verbal and written communication with respect to what transpired with the dog. Regarding surgery, what surgeries were performed and what was expected afterwards, discharge, etc. And also 21 for R311-502-L7 and L8 with respect to administering and dispensing the gabapentin.
Second.
Okay. Thank you, Tracy. What would we do without you? Okay, so we've got a motion and a second, and then let's do voice vote. Okay, there's no further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion passes. So the board has voted to find violations. At next month's meeting, the board will consider adopting proposed findings of facts and conclusions of law. And after doing so, we'll then discuss and adopt disciplinary action. If you have any questions, in the meantime, please call the board's executive director, Victoria Whitmore. This concludes the informal interview. Thank you for being here in person and over the phone.